We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
1:39, 21 minutes now in front of 2 o'clock here on a Saturday at CCO. Bit of a wrinkle in the schedule today. We have the Twins and the Orioles. Not one, but two today. At Oriole Park at Camden Yards, they got rained out, but I remember reading Phil Miller, and follow a lot of people on Twitter, but Phil sent out a tweet last night, Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune. He said they called the game, but it really hasn't rained that hard in Baltimore tonight, with the thought they probably could have played the game on Friday night.
Yeah, interesting the Orioles would give the game the quick hook. Yeah, I think about what the Twins did on Wednesday night here in Minneapolis. It rained all day. It started to lighten up as you got closer to game time. It was kind of a mist coming down. They delayed the first pitch from 6:40 to 7:30 p.m. They got the game in. It was 43 degrees. Not the greatest night to play baseball.
No.
But, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays, that's their only trip in. So they wanted to avoid anything as far as making Toronto come back. Now, you did have the next game on Thursday as a possibility, but I'm sure both teams needed to get out of town. So Minnesota got the game in. Orioles say, you know what, we're just going to play two on Saturday. And Minnesota makes its only trip to Baltimore this weekend. That's part of it. They want to make sure the Twins and Orioles play three.
Yeah, and for the Twins and Blue Jays on Wednesday night, you brought it up, with the inclement weather during the day, it really wasn't ideal. Attendance was low for the four-game series. It still is the middle of April here in Minnesota, and the Blue Jays are in town. Not a great team. They've struggled as of late, so it wasn't a huge draw. But you totally wanted to avoid a doubleheader on getaway day on Thursday. I mean, that just was not ideal.
Absolutely, and I look, the Twins can't tell MLB when they want to play certain teams and where.
Sure.
Nobody can dictate how MLB is going to do the schedule. But I know deep down it had to be disappointing for Minnesota to get Toronto in April during the week, because I've seen weekend series here when the Blue Jays come in later in the season, the weather's warmer, and those Blue Jay fans flock to town. Because if you think about it geographically, if you're in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, even parts of Ontario, you're closer to Minneapolis than you are to Toronto. And I've seen Blue Jay Blue dominate Target Field in the past. I've seen tour buses parked on the streets. Even with the high parking rates we now have in Minneapolis, I've seen Saskatchewan plates, Manitoba, Ontario. The Twins didn't get that bounce this week. That's unfortunate, because that's usually a fun series. It's a different kind of a border battle, if you will.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if at some point, speaking of the schedule, you can sit down, if you're the Twins and you're the city of Minneapolis and the greater Twin Cities area. I mean, let's face it, Blue Jay fans, if they come down from north of the border, are probably going to do a ball game, maybe go out to Valley Fair, whatever the point, and spend money here in town. That's one of those series, say to MLB, hey, if we get the Blue Jays, we'd like them in that window between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Now, you can't accommodate every major league team, but as you pointed out, the proximity to Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and even, you know, Western Ontario, the Twin Cities is ideal.
There's no question. If you're in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and you want to see the Blue Jays, it's easier to come here than go to Toronto.
For sure. Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, if you're in Saskatchewan, your next closest stop is Seattle. You don't have a lot of options. Toronto is the only Canadian Major League Baseball team. And, yeah, it's just too bad they couldn't have had this thing go later in the year, at least on a weekend. Because I remember a couple of years ago vividly walking into the ballpark, and all I saw was the Blue Jay logo everywhere. The fan base kind of staged a coup d'etat, if you will. Now, the ball club was better then, too. To be fair, Toronto's struggling. They're still 9-12, even though they won 3 of 4 here. But I think if this is a series later in the year, the Twins get more bounce and the Blue Jay fans show up and everybody wins. So Major League Baseball should look at things like that, but they have 30 teams to worry about, and putting together a schedule is like Rubik's Cube. I mean, it's there's a lot that goes into it, so sometimes you don't get what you want.
Twins take 2 out of 2 from the Tigers. Of course, they had that postponement on Friday night, the 12th. They were able to beat the Tigers 4-3 and 6-4 over the weekend. Then the Blue Jays come to town, a team that's been struggling. As you pointed out, they were a big payroll, big money team. It didn't pay dividends for them. Now they're trying to find a new way. Simple fact of the matter is the Blue Jays played pretty well and beat the Twins 3 out of 4. And that was not a good look for the Twins in those four games.
It was a Donnie Downer way to end the homestand, because you felt very good on Sunday when they swept away Detroit in that brief two-game series. They lost 1 to snow and cold. But the Twins, you know, in the division are 6-1. So they've been able to, early on, beat their neighbors, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Detroit. They haven't seen the Chicago White Sox yet. And in comes Toronto, and you're thinking, all right, maybe they get 3 more here, and they hit the road with a pretty impressive record. But instead, Toronto came in. They had the comeback victory on Monday. I was at the game on Tuesday. That was one of the more dramatic finishes I've ever seen with my own eyes to a baseball game, where Buxton hit the double down the line, and the Twins wave in C.J. Cronin. By the way, I agree with the call to send him.
And the 0-1 pitch, lift to left down the line towards the corner near the wall, and in play and off the wall. Here comes Cronin around third. He's going to try to score. The relay throw to the plate to catch the tag, and he's out, and that's the game.
Well, and Cronin followed that up post-game with the gathered media on what transpired on that final play.
All I knew was down the left field line. I was trying to just run as fast as I could. At the end of the day, it was just a good relay, and I was out by a little bit, and that's how baseball is. With the situation with 2 outs, it's more of an aggressive time, where obviously with 1 or no outs, we're going to be a little bit more passive there. But in hindsight, I guess I should have stayed, but it is what it is. They've made a good play. I was just looking at Kepler. He was telling me to slide to the outside, I think, so you just got to trust him. I didn't know necessarily where the ball was. He was giving me a lane. I didn't think he was blocking it. Once he caught the ball, he kind of took that lane away, which I'm pretty sure is allowed. So he did a good job. Galvis did a good job. Oscar did. I mean, they just did a good job. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bang-bang play, sort of. Cronin was the victim of a very good relay, and I agree with that strategy. You know, you have an opportunity to tie the game right there. You don't pull them up short at third base with the hope that you do get a base hit or a wild pitch or some way. You know, go for it. Hey, give it a try.
Totally. I never left the ballpark thinking, why did they send C.J. Cronin? It was the right move, and I like aggressive baseball. And by the way, if he does score, you got Byron Buxton, the winning run, out there on the base pass. So any kind of a hit, and you win it. It's a walk-off win. And as C.J. Cronin laid it out, I mean, Hernandez in left had to go into the corner and whirl and throw to Galvis, the shortstop, who then gets a perfect strike at home to Jansen, who made that kind of a sweeping tag. Cronin had to go around him. You can't run over catchers anymore after that Buster Posey incident. So he was able to block the plate well enough. The Twins did appeal. And again, that's a smart move. You have nothing to lose. They called New York. They looked at it. They said, no, clean block of the plate. He was out. Blue Jays win. And that really set the tone, I think, for Toronto, because then they had 2 in the series. Twins win on Wednesday, but Toronto on getaway day with another impressive win. So it was not the kind of ending to a homestand the Twins were hoping to, I think, really feast on.
Yeah, and there was a huge bright spot in this homestand, the lone Twins victory, 4-1 over the Blue Jays on Wednesday. Jake Odorizzi was phenomenal.
Runner stays, the 2-2, and there it is, strike 3 on the fastball that Smoke gave up on, came back inside, caught the edge, and that's another strikeout. Blue Jays leave 1. Odorizzi has struck out 6.
And the manager, Rocco Baldelli, talked about Jake Odorizzi following the win on Wednesday.
I thought it was a very solid start. His stuff was good. Even in the first inning, he looked good. He was throwing the ball good. He gave up a few hits that maybe weren't they were good pitches, and they were base hits. They were not particularly hard hit, and it is what it is. But he didn't let that bother him in any way. He just went right back to work, and he got us into a good point in the game, giving us that opportunity to win. So I think he felt good too, just watching him in the dugout and his body language and everything. I think he was ready to go. And with all of the starts that he's had that have kind of been, you know, some of them were kind of on us where they're just not particularly normal, typical starts. Just giving him the opportunity to throw and get us to that point, I think, was important, and he did it.
And it was a big win for him, big win for the Twins, the only game of the series. Odorizzi, by the way, with that victory, moves to 1-2, and he's key. He was brought over a year ago. Things didn't really pan out for him in 2018. A slow start here in 2019. If the Twins are going to have success, they're going to need more than Jose Berríos. They're going to need Jake Odorizzi. They're going to need Kyle Gibson. They're going to need Michael Pineda. And by the way, the starter of the nightcap tonight, Martin Perez, their starting pitching needs to be solid. That goes without saying. That's true for any ball club that hopes to be in the postseason.
Absolutely. And Odorizzi, I believe, 4 starts so far. The first one, very good, a no decision. I think he had 10, 11 Ks against Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, the opening weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You and I were at that game. The middle two, he struggled. Bounce back effort the other day against Toronto, but he's got to be more consistent. They have to be able to rely on him as almost like a stopper. I mean, I know that's what you think your ace is, a stopper. Jose Berríos, who will pitch tonight in game one. And here's the thing. I mean, and you really can't ever judge a ball club when you see them in late March. But the Cleveland Indians were scuffling in that series against Minnesota, losing 2 of 3. But they didn't have a lot of their key guys. Some of those guys are coming back now, Francisco Lindor, people like that. They're 11-7. The Indians have turned it around quickly. They've won 3 in a row. And their pitching is still the gold standard, I think, Stevie T, in the American League Central. So the Indians, everybody says they're ripe to be caught. And maybe Minnesota will be able to do it. I don't know about Detroit yet. Chicago and Kansas City appear to be down. But the pitching of the Indians is still very good. So they're going to be in it at the very least.
So big starts today for Jose Berríos and Martin Perez. Game 1 and Game 2 starters for the Twins. Our pregame show gets started at 2:30 today with Chris Atterbury. Game 1, officially 3:05 our time. Game 2, who knows? We'll find out.
I believe it's 30 minutes approximately after the end of Game 1. That's the report I saw in the Baltimore Sun.
And if you can tell me when Game 1 will end.
Well, Rob Manfred would like to tell us it's going to be about 2 hours and 40 minutes, but dream on, Rob.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Quick break. We have more coming up. Twins and Orioles, a twin bill on the way on this Saturday. Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out on a Saturday at CCO. Coming up following the news and weather at 2, we'll talk Twins Community Fund. Stephanie Johnson will join us about a great event coming up in June at Topgolf. Minneapolis up in Brooklyn Center. This is an inaugural event, great fundraiser for the Twins Community Fund. And we'll get more details, talk more about the Twins and Orioles. But here we go. Twins go on the road. They've got 2 with the Orioles today, 1 on Sunday. And then they get Houston Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the Astros, pretty good. And then right back here with the Orioles and Astros to close out April at Target Field. So I think it's imperative with that many games with Houston coming up, a very good ball club, they need to take care of business against the Orioles.
Yeah, for sure. Houston right now, second best record in the American League, just behind Tampa Bay. How about the Rays on top of the payroll division, the AL East, by 4.5 games over the New York Yankees. With no payroll and a bad ballpark, Tropicana Field.
The worst.
You know, at some point, I would love to sit down and talk to Rocco Baldelli, because he came out of the Tampa organization, about how are they able to sustain their success year after year after year. They lose so many key players. They lose Joe Maddon. Obviously, Rocco was coveted by the Twins. I mean, they just keep winning, though. They were a 90-plus win team last season.
Yeah, bad ballpark, no money to spend, and all they do is win. You know what they do? They scout, they scout, they scout, they scout. They get good players.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And they develop those players.
They develop those players.
And they have a system. And look, I think that's one reason why the Twins went after Rocco Baldelli. That's a good organization to pull talent from, because in some ways you have to outwork everybody. Boston, if they need you, they're going to write a check, or the Yankees or somebody. I mean, in that division, Toronto and Baltimore even have a lot of money. But to your point, the Orioles are 8-12, and they're 1-6 at Camden Yards. So early on, they're not very good at home. This is an opportunity for the Twins to win some games.
And particularly in Game 1 with Jose Berríos on the mound, a pregame show at 2:30, first pitch 3:05, Corey Provis and Dan Gladden from one of the gems, Camden Yards. We've got a quick break for the news and the weather at 2 o'clock, and then we got more Twins coming up. It is 2:09 on a lovely Saturday here in the Twin Cities area and beyond, 72 degrees now. Little breezy south winds at 15 miles an hour. And, of course, we have the Twins and the Orioles coming up from Camden Yards. A doubleheader today. Old school. They'll go back-to-back. Not the day-night stuff. Just two in a row from Camden Yards. Our pregame show with Chris Hatterbury at 2:30. And the first pitch comes up at 3:05. Today with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden here on the home of the Twins. And then game two to follow, 30 minutes after the fact. And we're pleased to be joined now by Stephanie Johnson, Executive Director of the Twins Community Fund. And Stephanie, thanks so much for the time and joining us for the first time here in 2019.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're joining us to talk about a really cool event coming up at Topgolf. And if people haven't been to Topgolf, here in the Twin Cities, Topgolf Minneapolis up in Brooklyn Center. It really is a great time.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun, and it's great for even non-golfers like myself. So, it's a great way to just get hang out with friends and swing a golf club and get a little bit competitive. I kind of I'm a terrible golfer, but I had a great time at Topgolf. So, yeah, on June 10th, we're going to have our inaugural Swing for the Kids Classic at Topgolf, which is going to be a fundraiser for our Twins Community Fund. And it is going to feature the entire current Twins team, our coaching staff, some alumni, and all that kind of fun stuff. Caribou Coffee is the sponsor of that event for us. And we're just we're really excited to introduce a new fundraiser for the Twins Community Fund, hopefully raise money for a great cause and just have a chance for our fans to interact with our players and have some fun, food, drink, Topgolf. It should be a really great time. We're excited about it.
Yeah, and easy access, Topgolf. As DVT said, Stephanie, right there in Brooklyn Center, almost on the border of Minneapolis, so it's not too far from Target Field. I know they had a major event last week with Larry Fitzgerald Jr. Being in town. And with all the players and coaches there, then obviously these kids are going to have access to some of the Twins, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone who attends will have a chance to meet and greet with our Twins players. And so, come and hang out with Nelson Cruz and Kyle Gibson and the whole meet Rocco maybe for the first time for a lot of our fans that haven't had a chance to get to know some of our new coaches and things like that. So, yeah, everyone who attends to the event will have a chance to meet our players, hang out with them, maybe golf, top golf with them, take their photos, food, beverages, the whole thing. So it should just be a lot of fun. We'll have a hole-in-one tournament that you can play in, and the winner of that will win some cool prizes. And so, it'll be great. And if you haven't had a chance to get to Topgolf, I know that a lot of people report 5-hour waits on the weekend, so this might be a good way to guarantee that you'll get a chance to take some swings from one of their bays.
Yeah, I know reservations are definitely advised if you want to get into Topgolf on the weekend. Now, Stephanie, tell us about how much room is in the event. Can people still be a part of it?
Sure. Yeah. Right now, what we have on sale are our bays. So if you can get four or five of your friends together, or something like that, and so we're on sale with our bays. So you can have you can get one team of five, and then you'll get to golf with a Twins player or coach. Or if you have one team of six, that'll be you guys, just your team in the bay, and then the player, you'll have a chance to meet players through other elements of the event. So we have those bays available right now. If you go to twinsbaseball.com/swingforthekids, and you can check that out. Grab a few of your friends and come out. Like I said, Top Golf is included, two rounds of Top Golf, a gift bag for all of your guests, photo opportunities with Twins players and coaches, a chance to meet our Twins players and coaches, and then also food and beverages all included. So it's the evening of June 10th from 5 to 9. And like you said, it's just 5 minutes north of the ballpark, so super easy access for anyone that wants to come. And, you know, space is limited, especially for those bays. So I would encourage anyone who's interested to please check it out and give us a call if you have more questions. But yeah, twinsbaseball.com/swing for the kids. You can register now for some bays. And like I said, all the proceeds are benefiting our Twins Community Fund, which focuses on improving the lives of young people through baseball and softball, and just trying to make sure that everyone who wants to play has a place to play, and that we're removing any barriers that are preventing anyone from playing baseball and softball.
And I know that's a big thing the Twins are trying to do, Major League Baseball, Stephanie, get more kids involved. Obviously, a lot of competition these days from, you know, lacrosse, soccer, hockey, basketball, football, you name it. But baseball's still America's pastime, and you want to make it accessible, don't you?
Yeah, accessible, and just a way for kids who, you know, team sports are so important. They teach so many skills. I think especially baseball, you know, you're learning about teamwork and perseverance, and baseball is the kind of sport that if you succeed one in three times, you're one of the best in the game. So, you know, it's some important life skills, and we're just working really hard to expose kids to that, to provide access to the game for both baseball and softball for kids of all ages through a number of programs, whether that's grant programs that are renovating youth baseball and softball fields across the upper Midwest, or our work with the Twins RBI program in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which stands for Reviving Baseball in the Inner Cities, and just making sure that kids from all levels of income and access have a way to play the game. You know, that might mean providing free baseball gloves, or just, you know, tickets to Twins games to come and kind of see what Target Field is like for people that might not otherwise have access to ball games. So a lot of work in that space, and we can't do that without the support of, you know, our fans, and with events like Swing for the Kids. So, yeah.
Great event coming up on June 10th. Once again, go to the website, twinsbaseball.com/swingforthekids. Stephanie, always good to visit with you, and hopefully you'll be willing to join us throughout the season and talk about the great work of the Twins Community Fund.
Absolutely. Always happy to. Thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, have a great day. There she is, Stephanie Johnson, once again, Executive Director of the Twins Community Fund. And that really is a cool event, Eric. I've been to not only the Topgolf here, but the Topgolf down in Tucson, and it is a great time. I mean, this is going to be a huge event.
Yeah, it definitely will. I know the city of Brooklyn Center was ecstatic to be able to get this facility put up. Yeah. It opened, I believe, in January. You can't miss it. It's really the skyline of Brooklyn Center. If you're on I-94 or I-694 in the northwest suburbs, you can see it. It's visible, and a lot of people are getting a chance to sample it. Like I said, I know last week Larry Jr. had his annual event for his late mom, Carol, out there, and they had a huge turnout. I was told that it was tough to get in. There were so many people there, and I think she said it as well, Stephanie. Parking is limited, so if you're going to be part of this Twins event, you know, just plan accordingly. But I think what they have in Brooklyn Center, they're very happy with it.
Yeah, June 10th, Monday, June 10th. Once again, twinsbaseball.com/swingforthekids. Once again, to find out, get a group together, and be a part of this great event for the Twins.
Maybe you'll get out there and swing the stick, Stevie T.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely want to go out there and check it out for sure, because if the entire team's going to be there, great opportunities to rub elbows with the Twins and get away from it. And it is amazing. Once they get into the rhythm of the season, they have rare days off. You think about, you know, generally they play six games in 7 days. Some cases they play 7 days a week, barring rainouts, et cetera. And then many times throughout the course of the season, they're doing charity events like this, the players, the coaches, et cetera. So it's really great on a day off, the way they're able to donate their time for a great cause.
Yeah, the old saying, too much is given, much is expected. But you're absolutely right. Day offs are rare. They're coveted. But I think most of the ball players and the coaches, they like these kind of events. It's a little more low key. And anytime, you know, you're able to, you know, let kids learn about golf and baseball. I think that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good opportunity for a remote that night for CCO. Who knows?
Yeah, I would think Max is going to be there for sure on Monday night, June 10th. Going out on a limb here. 2:19, we've got a whole lot more coming up. Pre-game show at 2:30. Chris Atterbury is standing by. We've got two in a row today. Twins and Orioles, an old school doubleheader today. Jose Barrios in game one, Martin Perez in game two. We'll break that down. We'll preview the finale on Sunday. And then a big three-gamer coming up in Houston with the Astros Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night here in the home of the Twins. News Talk, 830-WCCO. 2:23, we got the Twins and Orioles, two in a row coming up. They were, and I'm using air quotes here, rained out in Baltimore on Friday night. I'm not sure what that was about, because I'll go back to what I brought up earlier in the show. Phil Miller from the Star Tribune says it wasn't really raining that hard in Baltimore. They could have played on Friday night. I mean, it's not like, you know, there were torrential downpours and lightning in the area and that sort of thing. But anyway, we get a doubleheader today, an old-school one. Jose Barrios in game one. This is a big key. The Twins trying to right their ship. They dropped 3-4 to the Blue Jays. They can't feel too good about that. And by the way, beyond Barrios and Perez, Martin Perez, the game two starter, Jonathan Scope and his return to Camden Yards.
That's right. A former Baltimore Oriole, an all-star 2 years ago with Baltimore at second base. Good power numbers. Did get traded to Milwaukee midstream last season, but certainly for Scope, I'm sure he's fired up to go back to Camden Yards. And like I said earlier, Baltimore this year at the ballpark, the one that got it all started, that got the dominoes falling for all these new playpens we've seen in the last 25 years. But they are 1-6, so we'll see if the Twins can continue to make Baltimore struggle in their home ballpark. Chris Davis has certainly been a big story for most of this season. His slump, the record-breaking slump, the epic slump that he snapped last week. He's 5-46 on the year. One home run, eight
RBI.
But
he's hot lately.
He's batting 109. He is hot lately.
He's
remember,
hot lately.
He didn't get that first hit until a week ago. So
eight RBI, though, that's not bad.
That's pretty good. Is he player of the week? Here's a guy that hit 53 home runs a few years ago. So there is ability there.
All right, the projected lineup today, Polanco, Gonzalez, Cruz, Rosario, Astudillo, Cave, Scope, Castro, Buxton today with Jose Barrios on the mound. Let's start right at the top of the order. Jorge Polanco, we brought it up earlier in the season. Here's a guy who missed the first half of the season due to a suspension. He got the big extension in the offseason, and he's been lights out. He has been really good.
He's the second leading hitter in the American League, third overall in the majors with a .400 average. So, yes, you're exactly right. Jorge Polanco, that's one of the reasons why they extended him, because they believe he's a building block on a mostly young team and is a guy that's going to be here for a while. And, yeah, he's produced. We remember he had a cycle a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. He's already this season got three triples, three home runs. He's walked seven times, so he's getting on base in a lot of different ways. Plays a solid shortstop. He was our good hands guy a week ago, had a play against Detroit on Miguel Cabrera, a lunging catch of a line drive. I really like watching this guy play, and he's got some power too, Stevie T. When he gets a hold of a baseball, he can hit it a long way. Three home runs on the year, and I saw him drive one the other day against Toronto just inside the foul pole, well onto the Great Clips home run plaza.
And another great story is Eddie Rosario in the month of April, well, let's call it March/April, that he's putting up. Six home runs, 16 RBI for Eddie Rosario, and he's been a mainstay in that cleanup spot, hitting behind Nelson Cruz. 2 points here. It helps to have an established bat like Cruz in front of you. And Eddie Rosario, give him credit, has taken advantage.
And, boy, he's been hot the last few games. His power numbers have really gone up dramatically. And look, I really think he was an all-star last season. He didn't get chosen to the all-star game, but in my eyes, he played all-star caliber baseball, especially in the first half of the year. But the Twins were so far down, they were only going to get one guy in, and it was Jose Barrios. So, yeah, I like Rosario's game, no question. And let's not forget, I don't think I've seen an official timetable yet, but at some point, Miguel Sano does come back, and if the Twins can get the Sano of 2017 and he eventually gets into a groove. And remember, in this lineup, he doesn't have to be Superman. Step in, do your thing, get some pitches you like, hit the ball, and bingo. That's another big bat they get in the lineup.
Yeah, especially if they put him a little bit further down the order.
Like Byron.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that, if you will, pressure that maybe you do closer to the top of the order. And Byron Buxton's been phenomenal as well this year. And, you know, now just stay in the lineup. Stay in the lineup. Build some consistency is the key for Byron Buxton. He has all the tools.
You're exactly right. And right now that average is .271. Doesn't have a home run yet, but a lot of doubles. He can certainly get triples. He's a gold glover in center field. He's so acrobatic out there. I think if he continues at this pace, Byron Buxton could be an all-star because his glove is unparalleled out there in center.
Yeah, he is.
Unbelievable.
He has been really good early in 2019 and a great sign. Twins and Orioles, the first of two on the way. Chris Atterbury in our pregame show coming up in a moment here on the home of the Twins, CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.